Section 4. The Circuit as a Whole. We have seen that the process of circulation is interrupted at the end of its first phase, money to commodity, by productive capital, in which the commodities, labour power and means of production, bought in the market, are consumed as the material and value components of productive capital. The product of this consumption is a new commodity, altered in respect of substance and value. The interrupted process of circulation, money to commodity, must be completed by commodity to money, but the bearer of this second and concluding phase of circulation is increased commodity, a commodity different in substance and value from the original commodity. The circulation series, therefore, appears as 1. Money to commodity, 2. Increased commodity to increased money, where in the second phase of the first commodity, another commodity of greater value and different use form is substituted during the interruption caused by the functioning of productive capital, the production of increased commodity from the elements of commodity, the forms of existence of productive capital. However, the first form of appearance in which capital faced us, see Volume 1, Chapter 4, viz. Money to commodity to increased money, or extended, 1. Money to commodity, 2. Increased commodity to increased money, shows the same commodity twice. Both times it is the same commodity into which money is transformed in the first phase, and reconverted into more money in the second phase. In spite of this essential difference, both circulations share this much, that in their first phase money is transformed into commodities, and in the second, commodities into money, that the money spent in the first phase returns in the second. On the one hand, both have in common this reflux of the money to its starting point. On the other hand, also the excess of the returning money over the money advanced. To that extent, the formula money to commodity through to increased commodity to increased money is contained in the general formula money to commodity to increased money. It follows furthermore that each time equally great quantities of simultaneously existing values face and replace each other in the two metamorphoses, money to commodity and increased commodity to increased money, belonging in circulation. The change in value pertains exclusively to the process of production, which thus appears as a real metamorphosis of capital, as compared with the merely formal metamorphosis of circulation. Let us now consider the total movement, money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, or, in its more expanded form, money to commodity equal to labour power plus means of production through productive capital through to increased commodity, or commodity plus commodity surplus value, to increased money, or money plus money surplus value. Capital here appears as a value which goes through a series of interconnected, interdependent transformations, a series of metamorphoses which form just as many phases or stages of the process as a whole. Two of these phases belong in the sphere of circulation, one of them in that of production. In each one of these phases, capital value has a different form, for which there is a correspondingly different special function. Within this movement, the advanced value does not only preserve itself, but grows, increases in magnitude. Finally, in the concluding stage, it returns to the same form which it had at the beginning of the process as a whole. This process as a whole constitutes, therefore, the process of moving in circuits. The two forms assumed by capital value at the various stages of its circulation are those of money capital and commodity capital. The form pertaining to the stage of production is that of productive capital. The capital which assumes these forms in the course of its total circuit and then discards them, and in each of them performs the function corresponding to the particular form, is industrial capital. Industrial here in the sense it comprises every branch of industry run on a capitalist basis. Money capital, commodity capital, and productive capital do not therefore designate independent kinds of capital whose functions form the content of likewise independent branches of industry separated from one another. They denote here only special functional forms of industrial capital, which assumes all three of them, one after the other. Capital describes its circuit normally only so long as its various phases pass uninterruptedly into one another. If capital stops short in the first phase, money to commodity, money capital assumes the rigid form of a hoard. If it stops in the phase of production, the means of production lie without functioning on the one side, while labour power remains unemployed on the other. And if capital stops short in the last phase, increased commodity to increased money, piles of unsold commodities accumulate and clog the flow of circulation. However, it is in the nature of things that the circuit itself necessitates the fixation of capital for certain lengths of time in its various phases. In each of its phases, industrial capital is tied up with a definite form, money capital, productive capital, commodity capital. It does not acquire the form in which it may enter a new transformation phase until it has performed the function corresponding to each particular form. To make this plain, we have assumed in our illustration that the capital value of the quantity of commodities created at the stage of production is equal to the total sum of the value originally advanced in the form of money, or in other words, that the entire capital value advanced in the form of money passes on in bulk from one stage to the next. But we have seen in Volume 1, Chapter 8, that a part of constant capital, the labour instruments proper, for example machinery, continually serve anew, with more or less numerous repetitions of the same process of production, hence transfer their values piecemeal to the products. It will be seen later to what extent this circumstance modifies the circular movement of capital. For the present, the following suffices. In our illustration, the value of productive capital, amounting to £422, contained only the average wear and tear of factory buildings, machinery, etc. That is to say, only that part of value which they transferred to the yarn in the transformation of £10,600 of cotton into £10,000 of yarn, which represented the product of 1 week's spinning of 60 hours. In the means of production, into which the advanced constant capital of £372 was transformed, the instruments of labour, buildings, machinery, etc., figured as if they had only been rented in the market at a weekly rate. But this does not change the gist of the matter in any way. We have but to multiply the quantity of yarn produced in 1 week, that is, £10,000 of yarn, by the number of weeks contained in a certain number of years, in order to transfer to the yarn the entire value of the instruments of labour bought and consumed during this period. It is then plain that the advanced money capital must first be transformed into these instruments, hence must have gone through the first phase, money to commodity, before it can function as productive capital. And it is likewise plain in our illustration that the capital value of £422 embodied in the yarn during the process of production cannot be part of the value of the 10,000 pounds of yarn and enter the circulation phase, increased commodity to increased money, until it is ready. It cannot be sold until it has been spun. In the general formula, the product is regarded as a material thing, different from the elements of the productive capital, as an object existing apart from the process of production and having a use form different from that of the elements of production. This is always the case when the result of the productive process assumes the form of a thing, even when a part of the product re-enters the resumed production as one of its elements. Grain, for instance, serves as seed for its own production. But the product consists only of grain, and hence has a shape different from those of related elements such as labour power, implements, fertilizer. But there are certain independent branches of industry in which the product of the productive process is not a new material product, is not a commodity. Among these, only the communications industry, whether engaged in transportation proper of goods and passengers, or in the mere transmission of communications, letters, telegrams, etc., is economically important. A. Chuprov, in Railroading, Moscow, 1875, says on this score, "The manufacturer may first produce articles and then look for consumers. His product, thrust out of the process of production when finished, passes into circulation as a commodity separated from it." He continues, "Production and consumption thus appear as two acts separated in space and time. In the transportation industry, which does not create any new products but merely transfer men and things, these two acts coincide. Its services, change of place, are consumed the moment they are produced. For this reason, the area within which railways can sell their services extends at best 53 kilometres on either side of their tracks. The result, whether men or goods are transported, is a change in their whereabouts. Yarn, for instance, may now be in India instead of in England, where it was produced. However, what the transport industry sells is change of location. The useful effect is inseparably connected with the process of transportation, that is, the productive process of the transport industry. Men and goods travel together with the means of transportation, and their travelling, this locomotion, constitutes the process of production effected by these means. The useful effect can be consumed only during this process of production. It does not exist as a utility different from this process, a use thing which does not function as an article of commerce, does not circulate as a commodity until after it has been produced. But the exchange value of this useful effect is determined, like that of any other commodity, by the value of the elements of production, labour power and means of production, consumed in it, plus the surplus value created by the surplus labour of the labourers employed in transportation. This useful effect also entertains the very same relations to consumption that other commodities do. If it is consumed individually, its value disappears during its consumption. If it is consumed productively, so as to constitute by itself a stage in the production of the commodities being transported, its value is transferred as an additional value to the commodity itself. The formula for the transport industry would therefore be money to commodity via productive capital to increased money, since it is the process of production itself that is paid for and consumed, not a product separate and distinct from it. Hence this formula has almost the same form as that of the production of precious metals, the only difference being that in this case increased money represents the converted form of the useful effect created during the process of production, and not the bodily form of the gold or silver produced in this process and extruded from it. Industrial capital is the only mode of existence of capital in which not only the appropriation of surplus value or surplus product, but simultaneously its creation, is a function of capital. Therefore, with it, the capitalist character of production is a necessity. Its existence implies the class antagonism between capitalists and wage labourers. To the extent that it seizes control of social production, the technique and social organisation of the labour process are revolutionised, and with them the economico-historical type of society. The other kinds of capital, which appeared before industrial capital, amid conditions of social production that have receded into the past or are now succumbing, are not only subordinated to it, and the mechanism of their functions altered in conformity with it, but move solely with it as their basis, hence live and die, stand and fall with this basis. Money capital and commodity capital, so far as they function as vehicles of particular branches of business side by side with industrial capital, are nothing but modes of existence of the different functional forms now assumed, now discarded, by industrial capital in the sphere of circulation. Modes which, due to social division of labour, have attained independent existence and been developed one-sidedly. The circuit, money through to increased money, on the one hand intermingles with the general circulation of commodities, proceeds from it and flows back into it, is a part of it. On the other hand, it forms an independent movement of the capital value for the individual capitalist, a movement of its own, which takes place partly within the general circulation of commodities, partly outside of it, but which always preserves its independent character. First, because its two phases that take place in the sphere of circulation, money to commodity and increased commodity to increased money, being phases of the movement of capital, have functionally definite characters. In money to commodity, commodity is materially determined as labour power and means of production. In increased commodity to increased money, the capital value is realised plus the surplus value. Secondly, because the process of production embraces productive consumption. Thirdly, because the return of the money to its starting point makes of the movement money through to increased money a circuit complete in itself. Every individual capital is therefore, on the one hand, in its two circulation halves, money to commodity and increased commodity to increased money, an agent of the general circulation of commodities, in which it either functions or lies concatenated as money or as a commodity, thus forming a link in the general chain of metamorphoses taking place in the world of commodities. On the other hand, it describes within the general circulation its own independent circuit, in which the sphere of production forms a transitional stage, and in which this capital returns to its starting point in the same form in which it left that point. Within its own circuit, which includes its real metamorphosis in the process of production, it changes, at the same time, the magnitude of its value. It returns not simply as money value, but as augmented, increased money value. Let us finally consider money to commodity through productive capital to increased commodity to increased money as a special form of the circular course of capital, alongside the other forms which we shall analyze later. We shall find that it is distinguished by the following features. 1. It appears as the circuit of money capital, because industrial capital, in its money form, as money capital, forms the starting point and the point of return of its total process. The formula itself expresses the fact that the money is not expended here as money, but is merely advanced, hence is merely the money form of capital, money capital. It expresses furthermore that exchange value, not use value, is the determining aim of this movement. Just because the money form of value is the independent, tangible form in which value appears, the form of circulation money through to increased money, the initial and terminal points of which are real money, expresses most graphically the compelling motive of capitalist production, money-making. The process of production appears merely as an unavoidable intermediate link, as a necessary evil for the sake of money-making. All nations with a capitalist mode of production are therefore seized periodically by a feverish attempt to make money without the intervention of the process of production. 2. The stage of production, the function of productive capital, represents in this circuit an interruption between the two phases of circulation, money to commodity, through to increased commodity to increased money, which in its turn represents only the intermediate link in the simple circulation, money to commodity to increased money. The process of production appears in the form of a circuit-describing process, formally and explicitly, as that which it is in the capitalist mode of production, as a mere means of expanding the advanced value, hence enrichment as such as the purpose of production. 3. Since the series of phases is opened by money to commodity, the second link of the circulation is increased commodity to increased money. In other words, the starting point is money, the money capital that is to be self-expanded, the terminal point is increased money, the self-expanded money capital, money plus surplus value, in which money figures as realized capital along with its offspring. This distinguishes the circuit of money from that of the two other circuits, productive capital and increased commodity, and does so in two ways. On the one hand, by the money form of the two extremes, and money is the independent, tangible form of existence of value, the value of the product in its independent value form, in which every trace of the use value of the commodities has been extinguished. On the other hand, the form productive capital through to productive capital does not necessarily become productive capital through to increased productive capital, and in the form commodity through to increased commodity, no difference whatever in value is visible between the two extremes. It is therefore characteristic of money, to increased money, that for one thing capital value is its starting point, and expanded capital value its point of return, so that the advance of capital value appears as the means, and expanded capital value as the end, of the entire operation, and that for another thing, this relation is expressed in money form, in the independent value form, hence money capital as money begetting money. The generation of surplus value by value is not only expressed as the alpha and omega of the process, but explicitly in the form of glittering money. 4. Since the money capital realized as a result of increased commodity to increased money, the complementary and concluding phase of money to commodity, has absolutely the same form as that in which it began its first circuit, it can, as soon as it emerges from the latter, begin the same circuit over again as an increased, accumulated money capital. And at least it is not in the form money through to increased money that, in the repetition of the circuit, the circulation of the incremental increase of money, surplus value, separates from that of money. Considered in its one-time form, formally, the circuit of money capital expresses therefore simply the process of self-expansion and of accumulation. Consumption is expressed in it only as productive consumption, by money to commodity, and it is only this consumption that is included in this circuit of individual capital. Money to labour power is labour power to money, or commodity to money, on the part of the labourer. It is therefore the first phase of circulation which brings about his individual consumption. Thus, labour power to money to commodity, that is, means of subsistence. The second phase, money to commodity, no longer falls within the circuit of individual capital, but is initiated and premised by it, since the labourer must above all live, hence maintain himself by individual consumption, in order to always be in the market as material that the capitalist can exploit. But this consumption itself is here only assumed as a condition for the productive consumption of labour power by capital, hence only to the extent that the worker maintains and reproduces himself as labour power by means of his individual consumption. However, the means of production, the commodities proper which enter into the circuit of capital, are nutriment for the productive consumption only. The act labour power to money promotes the individual consumption of the labourer, the transformation of the means of subsistence into his flesh and blood. True, the capitalist must also be there, must also live and consume to be able to perform the function of a capitalist. To this end he has, indeed, to consume only as much as the labourer, and that is all this form of the circulation process presupposes. But even this is not formally expressed, since the formula concludes with increased money, that is, a result which can at once resume its function as money capital, now augmented. Increased commodity to increased money directly contains the sale of increased commodity, but increased commodity to increased money, a sale on the one part, is money to commodity, a purchase, on the other part. And in the last analysis, a commodity is bought only for its use value, in order to enter, leaving intermediate sales out of consideration, the process of consumption, whether this is individual or productive, according to the nature of the article bought. But this consumption does not enter the circuit of individual capital, the product of which is increased commodity. This product is eliminated from the circuit precisely because it is a commodity for sale. Increased commodity is expressly designed for consumption by others than the producer. Thus, we find that certain exponents of the mercantile system, which is based on the formula money to commodity through productive capital to increased commodity to increased money, deliver lengthy sermons to the effect that the individual capitalist should consume only as much as the labourer, that the nation of capitalists should leave the consumption of their own commodities and the consumption process in general to the other less intelligent nations, but that they themselves should make productive consumption their life's task. These sermons frequently remind one in form and content of analogous ascetic expostulations of the fathers of the Church. Capital's movement in circuits is therefore the unity of circulation and production. It includes both. Since the two phases, money to commodity and increased commodity to increased money are acts of circulation, the circulation of capital is a part of the general circulation of commodities. But as, functionally, they are definite sections, stages in capital circuit, which pertains not only to the sphere of circulation, but also to that of production, capital goes through its own circuit in the general circulation of commodities. The general circulation of commodities serves capital, in the first stage, as a means of assuming that shape in which it can perform the function of productive capital. In the second stage, it serves to strip off the commodity function in which capital cannot renew its circuit. At the same time, it opens up to capital the possibility of separating its own circuit from the circulation of the surplus value that accrued to it. The circuit made by money capital is therefore the most one-sided and thus the most striking and typical form in which the circuit of industrial capital appears, the capital whose aim and compelling motive, the self-expansion of value, the making of money and accumulation, is thus conspicuously revealed. Buying to sell dearer. Owing to the fact that the first phase is money to commodity, it is also revealed that the constituents of productive capital originate in the commodity market, and in general that the capitalist process of production depends on circulation, on commerce. The circuit of money capital is not merely the production of commodities. It is itself possible only through circulation, and presupposes it. This is plain, if only from the fact that the form money, belonging in circulation, appears as the first and pure form of advanced capital value, which is not the case in the other two circuit forms. The money capital circuit always remains the general expression of industrial capital, because it always includes the self-expansion of the advanced value. In productive capital, through to productive capital, the money expression of capital appears only as the price of the elements of production, hence only as a value expressed in money of account, and is fixed in this form in bookkeeping. Money through to increased money becomes a special form of the industrial capital circuit when newly active capital is first advanced in the form of money and then withdrawn in the same form, either in passing from one branch of industry to another, or in retiring industrial capital from a business. This includes the functioning, as capital, of the surplus value first advanced in the form of money, and becomes most evident when surplus value functions in some other business than the one in which it originated. Money through to increased money may be the first circuit of a certain capital. It may be the last. It may be regarded as the form of the total social capital. It is the form of capital that is newly invested, either as capital recently accumulated in the form of money, or as some old capital, which is entirely transformed into money for the purpose of transfer from one branch of industry to another. Being a form always contained in all circuits, money capital performs this circuit precisely for that part of capital which produces surplus value, viz. Variable capital. The normal form of advancing wages is payment in money. This process must be renewed in comparatively short intervals, because the labourer lives from hand to mouth. The capitalist must therefore always confront the labourer as money capitalist, and his capital as money capital. There can be no direct or indirect balancing of accounts in this case, such as we find in the purchase of means of production and in the sale of produced commodities, so that the greater part of the money capital actually figures only in the form of commodities, money only in the form of money of account, and finally in cash only in the balancing of accounts. On the other hand, a part of the surplus value arising out of variable capital is spent by the capitalist for his individual consumption, which pertains to the retail trade, and, however circuitous the route may be, this part is always spent in cash, in the money form of surplus value. Variable capital always appears anew as money capital invested in wages, money to labour power, and money increment as surplus value to defray the cost of individual consumption of the capitalist. Hence, money, advanced variable capital value, and its increment are necessarily held in the form of money to be spent in this form. The formula money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, with its result increased money equals money plus surplus value, is deceptive in form, is illusory in character, owing to the existence of the advanced and self-expanded value in its equivalent form, money. The emphasis is not on the self-expansion of value, but on the money form of this process, on the fact that more value in money form is finally drawn out of the circulation than was originally advanced to it. Hence, on the multiplication of the mass of gold and silver belonging to the capitalist. The so-called monetary system is merely an expression of the irrational form money to commodity to increased money, a movement which takes place exclusively in circulation, and therefore can explain the two acts, money to commodity and commodity to increased money, in no other way than as a sale of commodity above its value in the second act, and therefore as commodity drawing more money out of the circulation than was put into it by its purchase. On the other hand, money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, fixed as the exclusive form, constitutes the basis of the more highly developed mercantile system, in which not only the circulation of commodities, but also their production, appears as a necessary element. The illusory character of money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, and the correspondingly illusory interpretation, exists whenever this form is fixed as occurring once, not as fluent and ever renewed. Hence, whenever this form is considered not as one of the forms of the circuit, but as its exclusive form. But it itself points toward other forms. In the first place, this entire circuit is premised on the capitalist character of the process of production, and therefore considers this process, together with the specific social conditions brought about by it, as the basis. Commodity consists of labour power and means of production, but money to labour power assumes the existence of the wage labourer, and hence the means of production as part of productive capital. It assumes, therefore, that the process of labour and self-expansion, the process of production, is a function of capital. In the second place, if money through to increased money is repeated, the return to the money form appears just as evanescent as the money form in the first stage. Money to commodity disappears to make room for productive capital. The constantly recurrent advance in the form of money and its constant return in the form of money appear merely as fleeting moments in the circuit. In the third place, money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money. Money to commodity through productive capital to increased commodity to increased money. Money to commodity through productive capital, etc. Beginning with the second repetition of the circuit productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, money to commodity through to productive capital, appears before the second circuit of money is completed, and all subsequent circuits may thus be considered under the form of productive capital through to increased commodity to money to commodity through to productive capital, so that money to commodity, being the first phase of the first circuit, is merely the passing preparation for the constantly repeated circuit of the productive capital. And this indeed is so in the case of industrial capital invested for the first time in the form of money capital. On the other hand, before the second circuit of productive capital is completed, the first circuit, that of commodity capital, increased commodity to increased money, money to commodity through productive capital to increased commodity, abridged, increased commodity through to increased commodity, has already been made. Thus, the first form already contains the other two, and the money form thus disappears, so far as it is not merely an expression of value, but an expression of value in the equivalent form, in money. Finally, if we consider some newly invested individual capital describing for the first time the circuit money to commodity through productive capital through to increased commodity to increased money, then money to commodity is the preparatory phase, the forerunner of the first process of production gone through by this individual capital. This phase, money to commodity, is consequently not presupposed, but rather called for, or necessitated by the process of production. But this applies only to this individual capital. The general form of the circuit of industrial capital is the circuit of money capital, whenever the capitalist mode of production is taken for granted, hence in social conditions determined by capitalist production. Therefore, the capitalist process of production is assumed as a precondition, if not in the first circuit of the money capital of a newly invested industrial capital, then outside of it. The continuous existence of this process of production presupposes the constantly renewed circuit productive capital through to productive capital. Even in the first stage, money to commodity, this premise plays a part, for this assumes, on the one hand, the existence of the class of wage labourers, and then, on the other, that which is money to commodity, the first stage, for the buyer of means of production, is increased commodity to increased money for their seller. Hence, increased commodity presupposes commodity capital, and thus the commodities themselves, as a result of capitalist production, and thereby the function of productive capital.